Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
You ready to have your doors blown off by the Josh McDaniels offense,
Keith? I'm ready to go to the door store.
Get some backup doors.
My whole house? What was he talking about? My car? My house?
Good question.
Remember that old thing? Do you think there are more doors or wheels in the world? Remember, that was a hot debate.
Well, that was
a couple years ago.
You asked that to Christian Gonzalez, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah.
What do you think? Doors or wheels?
Now, either way. Before the McDaniels offense, doors. Point. Now, wheels.
Wheels, take it.
Yeah, I just changed it.
Because it's going to be
that close.
It's going to be like a record-setting offense by the sound of it.
I guess.
Your doors are going to be blown off by how good this offense looks.
That was Bedard on his guy Josh McDaniels there. I'm guessing at this point in time, and certainly you can learn more as your career goes along. I'm guessing at this point in time, McDaniels is kind of what he is. Did McDaniels learn anything between Denver and Vegas, Keith? Doesn't seem like it.
No.
And
he did stop at St. Louis.
And I remember hearing a lot of, well, Josh McDaniels is a different guy. He learned from Denver. He grew from Denver. Turns out he got fired his second year in Vegas because he was still alienating players and still the same guy. Something tells me this guy is no different, and that's personality-wise and in terms of scheme. I don't think it's going to change at all.
No, but the hope would be the player is what changes.
Well,
and rather than it being, you know, Sam Bradford, Derek Carr, Jimmy Garoppolo, it's Drake May.
So that could totally
be.
Yeah. I believe that's there's potential for that. That has nothing to do with McDaniels. I don't think his offense is going to look Andy Reid-like. Like, I don't think there's going to be that kind
of...
Just because he watched one Chiefs practice, I don't think it's going to look like that.
And I also don't know what exactly it's going to look like anyway. Meaning, look at the rest of the staff around him. So you got Mike Vrabel as the head coach.
Yep.
But then look at all the offensive coaches that are on staff. They all have ties to Vrabel. And then you have a guy like Thomas Brown, who was with McVay. You have, you know, Doug Marrone, who at one point was doing his own thing, and Todd Browning was doing his own thing. I'm pretty interested to see like what it even looks like anyway. Because I don't think you have all of those guys as the assistants if you're like classic McDaniels offense. Like, isn't it going to have to be different than what it was? Isn't he going to have to? I don't know if your doors are going to be blown off.
This is what I was just going to say.
It's going to have to change anyway.
Could it look a little different? Sure, I guess. My doors are going to be blown off?
I think my doors will stay on.
Because he watched one Chiefs practice?
So like, Chiefs good team to watch.
Something
Ohio
tells
State?
Me.
Like, well, then just get Chip Kelly then, if you like the Ohio State offense so much.
Something tells me that's not going to be the case.
No.
So can Drake May be helped by Josh McDaniels? Maybe.
I
don't like that hire as much as a lot of people. I know you don't either. But maybe he'll help. He'll certainly be better for him than the offense was last year with Alex Van Pelt.
I was going to say, McDaniels is better than Van Pelt. Like, Vrabel is light years better than Mayo. So, like, there is... So, the head coach, I think, also helps in this sense, too. Like, I think he can get more out of the quarterback. He even said on his first press conference, you know, talking about, like, in-game stuff and, like, clock management and, like, things like that. So, he's not going to be calling all the plays. That's McDaniels' thing. But just like how to play quarterback in the NFL, I think you're going to get a lot more out of Mike Vrabel than you would Jerod Mayo. So like the whole package of coaches should be a significant upgrade for Drake May.
And since you said that, because I think Vrabel will help Drake May situationally, one thing I like that Drake said, and I watched a bunch of these interviews yesterday, I think it was the Good Morning Football one, I forget where it was, and he did a bit of a media blitz yesterday, talked about recruiting players at the Pro Bowl, et cetera.
Yeah.
One thing he acknowledged that I feel like he kind of fought last year, and we would point this out and highlight it here and there, were the turnovers. Like, I remember him being asked about it last year, and he's like, no, I don't think I have a turnover problem. And he seemed like a little stubborn and dug in on that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, even just early on with Vrabel, if they've already told him, like, hey, we gotta get this cleaned up. And I don't know how much correspondence he's had with those guys or overlap or anything beyond just, like, cursory meetings.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if that's already something they're drilling into him. Like, hey, you will take care of the football.
Yeah.
Whereas Mayo, like everything else, kind of brushed it all off to the side.
And
was like, you're fine. Yeah. You're young. You'll figure it out.
Ball security is job security. Until it really isn't.
That struck me as a little different already under Vrabel, but he's got to do it on the field.
Uh-huh.
We ranked our top 10 quarterbacks for 2025. We'll circle back to that coming up. James in Kennebunk wants to weigh in. Go ahead, James.
how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I just wanted to tell you guys that I think that if Elliott Wolf can grow a pair this year, I think that Drake May can really turn it around. I think that they got a lot of assets this year, and I think that this offseason they got a lot to work with. And I think that especially having Cooper Kupp available and T. Higgins, they got to get one of those guys for Drake May for sure, because that's something that they got to do, is they got to upgrade the wide receiver position. And then there's also Myles Garrett available. I think getting him would also upgrade Drake May, because he'd get the ball back in his hands more often.
Yeah, better defense would help Drake May. We've talked about...
I'll take all those players.
We've talked about Myles Garrett, Cooper Kupp, and T. Higgins.
All right, let's do this.
I would sign off on any of those.
All right, Patriots offense for next year. Just based on points per game, that's how we usually look at it. We're like, this team is the best and this team is the worst. Like Josh McDaniels with the Rams was the worst. What sort of best case, like realistic best case scenario where they rank, and then what is like realistic worst case scenario?
Rank?
For points per game.
I mean, middle of the pack?
See, I think they could be higher. I think,
what would you say, 10th?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that? Maybe.
The Mac Jones year, they were like 7th somehow. True. Weren't they like really high? Like,
yeah.
You can kind of spike it in a couple of weeks.
They had like some Jeremy Swayman style games in there where they pop like 50 against the Jaguars that really changed the overall number, but it's still counts at the end
10,
of the day.
Like, I think 10 is a optimistic yet
okay,
somewhat realistic goal to
but
set out for.
The absolute ceiling is they're the 10th highest scoring offense in football.
I think,
might go a little lower than that, but fine. I'll go to 10. Fine.
Floor, 23?
Yeah, I mean, low.
22?
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
The floor is low.
Like, but, so most likely we're thinking middle of the pack offense in year one, which is you got to start somewhere. Yeah, like they certainly weren't middle of the pack offense last year.
And I'm doing air quotes here. If you're watching along on twitch.tv, you see them.
Yeah.
But
you can hear them too through the radio.
If you're going to 15 or 16 points a game, that's not where you want them. That's not a finished product, but that would represent real progress.
They were 30th this year.
Offense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good.
They were 31st the year before.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're not 29th. You know, we're not going to be here all day.
Do you agree with the caller that Wolf needs to grow a pair? I don't know if that's how I'd phrase it in terms of going out and spending in free agency.
It's kind of sexist, if anything else. I don't think that's really what you need to be a good GM anymore.
See, you're thinking like it's Biden's America still now. Yeah. Keep it Trump's America.
That's
you can talk this way now. Yeah.
Hell
yeah,
you want.
You can say whatever it is you want.
No, I don't think Elliott Wolf had... I don't think he has a huge say this year.
Yeah, it's
like I'm
Kraft.
Subscribing to the Kraft's money, but then Vrabel and Cowden's players.
That's fine. I don't look at it and go, the reason the Patriots didn't have any players is Elliott Wolf needs to grow a pair last year.
No.
I don't look at it that way. I go, Kraft needs to spend.
Well, not to defend Wolf, but wasn't he offering the most money for Brandon Ayuk? Wasn't he in
on
all these guys?
I'm not going to play that game. I will say Kraft was willing
Nick
to
Wolf fan?
Sign off on that.
I'm not to defend. I don't listen to the whole thing.
I think Kraft
guy loves Wolf.
Was willing to offer the most money, but were they willing to go all the way to do whatever it took to get Ayuk? No. And I would still blame ownership for that.
Or Calvin Ridley or whatever. It was not about finance.
Well, Ridley definitely didn't have the best offer for Ridley. That one's not even up for debate.
No, they did not.
Ayuk, they reportedly had the most money on the table for Ayuk.
That was unfortunate. You just got used in that. Ayuk wasn't leaving. He was staying there.
If you make it worth everybody's while, he would have. Yeah. But you had to stretch further than that, and they did not. So, yeah, independent of how much of it is Wolf's call, and that's a fair point by you, I would say if anybody needs to grow a pair, it's ownership. I mean,
yeah, they need to be willing to spend more. Yeah. That's what it comes down to. I don't know if they will. I'm hopeful that they will, because I thought they were last year.
Yep.
Right? Like, I thought, because everybody was, including Kraft himself, was pointing to Bill Belichick as to why they didn't spend a lot of money. So you're like, all right, even if that's not true, if the first year without Bill you spend a lot of money, you're like, hey, look at this. They were right. That was all Bill. But the first year you don't, you know, your coach is saying they're going to burn some cash at his first press conference, or his first interview anyway, after his press conference, and then he gets yelled at for that. So they didn't burn any cash.
It would have been an easy way to do it. Just it was all Bill's fault. We never spent. Yeah. Now we're spending. Bill, Bill, Bill.
But if you
burn some cash.
Yeah.
But
they should have.
If you believe in the, like 3-4 year window concept or whatever. So they spent a lot of money in 2021.
Yep.
And then to get their books right, they've gone really cheap the final last 3 years.
And by the way, when you say if you believe in it, that's what Kraft said. Kraft said we want to control our spending on like a 3-year rolling.
It's like, okay, then this is the year.
Yeah.
And also, if you want to make the Vrabel hire look a lot better, then you better win a bunch of games this year and get some good players.
We went through and projected our top 10 quarterbacks for 2025 in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Terp has put together a snappy graphic that's up now at Jones and Keefe.
Faces.
What's going on? I don't know if he can get this up on Twitch, but you can see it, Keith. What's going on with my ear on the left side of my face? But if you're looking at it, the right side of the, what's going on with
it? It looks like Mick Foley's ear got bitten off, I think, in like a street fight.
It looks like I got like the cauliflower ear going on.
I think you had like a barbed wire match.
What's going on with that?
It just got mangled.
Is that what my ear looks like? That looks like it. You can't tell because I got the headphones on.
I don't think
you out there.
Can you not hear out of that one? It's just a show ear. There's actually, you can't even.
What's going on with that?
I just lump some clay. Slap it there on the side.
So if you can go to the Jones and Keith timeline and get past the mangled ear situation that I have
going on.
Turn
me up on Twitch and YouTube too. The one that you just made. Throw that up there when you get a chance.
You can get That's past excellent. my out of control cauliflower ear there. We ranked our top quarterbacks. The top four are no
Two
surprise.
Two handsome devils though.
We really are. The top four are no
surprise.
Funny.
He walked in and goes, I can't fit both of your heads on it, so I had to shrink it.
That's got to be my fault.
That's Keith. Yeah, it's entirely Keith's giant forehead.
That's all right.
That we got to blame for. Shout out Big Head Tony. So
the more I look at my list, I'm pissed.
Yeah, you should be. You should be. You hate Baker Mayfield. So we both have Patrick Mahomes 1.
Damn it.
You have Jackson 2. I have Allen 2. I have Jackson 3. You have Allen 3. So we have them flip 2 and 3, but same stratosphere. Thing. We both have Joe Burrow 4.
Top 4 is, I think, you got to be unanimous. I think if it's not in some order, those four guys, you're just going for like a hot take or you have like a, or you're very biased. It's those four guys. They're all in the AFC, and it feels like for years that's what the four is going to be.
Okay. Number 5, you have Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I went Jaden Daniels. Number 6, you went Jaden Daniels. I went Baker Mayfield. You hate Baker
that's
Mayfield.
That's a good spot. Actually, maybe even a little higher.
I had a decision to make between Jaden Daniels and Baker Mayfield. I went upside there, but but you know, Jaden Daniels might have a CJ Stroud sophomore slump. That's possible.
It's possible.
So I thought about Mayfield 6. You still didn't even have Mayfield 7. You went Jalen Hurts.
Guys in another Super Bowl.
I put Herbert there. You finally got to your guy Baker Mayfield at 8.
Too low.
I plunked down Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
And then I got to Hurts and Stroud. You got to Love and Prescott. So we have the top four basically the same.
I was getting heat for Jordan Love.
Yeah. Well,
Brian came in here during the break. It was like, what the hell?
Brian came in hacked off and didn't like you having Jordan Love in there. So
I thought Love was good, no?
I don't think he had a very good year, to be honest.
No, I know he didn't, but like I'm projecting 4. He's 20. He's young still. It's going to be his third full year as a starter.
I'll give you this. You projected forward on Jordan Love. I did that with CJ Stroud. Both of those take some projection. We have the top 4 the same.
Yeah.
We have 8 of the top 10 the same.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I have Hurts 9. You have Hurts 7. So what? I think Jalen Hurts is actually a very, very interesting player in the Super Bowl. We all have Saquon Barkley, Patrick Mahomes, whether or not you think he's greater than Tom Brady. I think we all even begrudgingly acknowledge the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. So I think Jalen Hurts is probably the most polarizing player in this Super Bowl. I think we both tend to like him more than most. I think if the Eagles are going to win, I think he has another big Super Bowl. They almost beat the Chiefs in Super Bowl 57. He had a massive game. It's a long way of saying I don't think they're just going to run to it with Saquon Barkley. Their defense will have a big factor in limiting Patrick Mahomes. They need Jalen Hurts to win the Super Bowl. And I think he's capable of having that kind of big game even against a great Chiefs defense. I do.
Yeah, I think Hurts is pretty good. And, like, I side with A.J. Brown on some of his frustrations. Like, I'm not saying Jalen Hurts is the greatest passer, but he's not the worst. Like, he gets made out to be much worse than he really is. 2 years ago, he was the runner-up in the MVP, right?
Yep.
2022, he was runner-up in the MVP. Followed that up with a good year in 23. He's 46-20 as a starter.
He's one of 22 quarterbacks to get to 2 Super Bowls.
Yeah, he's got a winning record in the playoffs. Even with a loss on Sunday, would still have a winning record in the playoffs. He is a guy that, you know, you have to factor in sort of the total touchdowns, right? I mean, he only threw for 18 touchdowns this year, which obviously seems like it's a bit low. But then he ran in 14.
I was going to say, so he's responsible for 32 touchdowns?
And this isn't like the Cam Newton thing, because Cam Newton, we used to get in these arguments back in 2020 with Cam Newton. They're like, you guys aren't factoring in the rushing ones. It's like, yeah, but even with the rushing ones, it was at like 20. Remember, he threw for like 8.
Yes.
So Jalen Hurts is a much better threat with his arm than somebody like 2020 Cam Newton certainly is. He is a winner. I do feel like just watching the Eagles games, there's enough big throws there. Right, we're like, oh, that's a big first down to Devontae Smith or to Dallas Goedert or A.J. Brown or whatever. So, no, I like Jalen Hurts. I do think after the top four, there's a bit of a drop-off in the league. And
Agreed.
Then that's where you really can argue 6 different guys for the next 6 spots. You can argue their position. You can argue whether they're even in there. You know, I'm sure people aren't as high on Herbert or Daniels that you and I are. But Hurts, I think, should be considered a top 10 quarterback in the league.
So I feel that way, and I was actually, I'm surprised we're both putting him as highly as we do. I figured maybe he would, he was top 10-ish, but I might have had him 11 or 12 when I actually sat down and did it. So names that we left off the list, Drake May, obviously, who we'll get to coming up. I think Drake May, trust me, I tried to find a way to shoehorn him in. He can't be shoehorned in to the top 10, even if you're projecting forward and projecting a better year. I think when I did it, I had him about 16th. Neither of us have Goff in the top 10.
No.
For next year. If he does, if he has another big year without Ben Johnson, I'll probably begrudgingly start putting him in the top 10. I'm a holdout there. Neither of us have Tua or Purdy. You have Dak. I don't.
Yeah.
You have Love. I don't. I have Stafford and CJ Stroud. You don't have either of those two.
Right.
I think either way you slice it, we both probably have Drake May somewhere right around the midpoint, 16.
Yeah, I think he is starts the year kind of middle of the pack. And then, again, you can kind of go up or down from there, you know, depending on how he plays. CJ Stroud probably began the year a lot higher on most lists. You still have him at 10, but might have even been higher based off his rookie season.
Oh, I would have had him, you know, I don't even know where going into last year. Higher than that, for sure.
So that's why, you know, it's like, so a guy like Matthew Stafford, I just wonder, like, projecting for next year where he's going to be. Like, does he have another year where he's a top 10 quarterback, or does he kind of fall off? The two that I think a lot of people would have on there would be Goff and Purdy. And because you're saying, all right, well, if you're looking at wins, if you're looking at stats, if you're looking at Super Bowl appearances.
If you're looking at stats, Goff is absolutely a top 10. It's everything. Completion percentage, yards, touchdowns, quarterback rate. Like, if you're looking just at stats, Goff is a no question top 10 quarterback, but I do think there's more to it.
Yeah, there definitely is. And then you look at the biggest game this season for him and how he played in that one, and you're like, all right, like, I'm curious very much how he looks without Ben Johnson next year. And maybe he's great. Maybe he's been unlocked. Maybe he just needed, you know, Sean McVay to take over the Rams. He sort of became a better quarterback at that point. Maybe. Like, we'll wait and see. But I do think Drake May could play himself up to 10. You know, because right now, guys like Jordan Love and Dak Prescott coming off an injury, CJ Stroud, Stafford, like, those guys are in either your or my top 10. I wouldn't, like, bet my all the money I have that they're going to stay there all year. And so somebody like Drake May or Tua, like, Tua's a weird one because there are times where he does look like a top 10 quarterback, or there's times he's just hurt.
Well, but
or
also,
the team kind of fizzles.
Also, what I would say about all those guys, I'd probably expect all of them to be in the playoffs too. So, like, we're talking some team success with those guys where even if Drake May takes a big stride in that regard, they win 9 games and sneak in as the 7 seed in the AFC. All these other guys are probably playoff quarterbacks too. And they've had good statistical individual seasons before. You know, a lot of those guys have gotten...
Burrow, right? It's the one guy this year, I think, on our list that was not a playoff quarterback. I mean, in his career he is, but this year he was not.
He's the... Yeah, you're right. He's the only quarterback on my list who did not make the playoffs this year. You also had Dak.
I had Dak, but that's sort of like, okay, he was hurt.
Right. So, yeah, that's true. I mean, most of these guys are playoff quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We expect them to be playoff quarterbacks. They've all had great individual seasons before. A lot of these guys have gotten MVP votes before. You know, Dak's gotten MVP votes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Purdy's gotten MVP votes.
Hurts.
Is Goff going to get him this year? Hurts has gotten him.
No, like, so, I don't think Goff's a finalist. Didn't they announce the finalists? I think were Allen, Jackson, Saquon. Maybe Goff was the four. I think there's four finalists.
So,
but yeah, he's not going to get many.
You're talking about, though, that's what these quarterbacks can do. So even if he pops for a year, and maybe that's his ceiling, but even if he does that, you're still a ways away from getting to where some of these quarterbacks have been. So, to me, I think we have him about properly rated, somewhere middle of the pack. I think there's an outside chance he could make a run at the top 10, but there's a lot of work to do. Maybe we'd feel differently if they did some of that work, if Elliott Wolf, as a caller said, grew some stones and added to this team.
Not sure that's what it is, but okay.
Maybe. But I do think, based on this exercise, we both feel better about Jalen Hurts the most. I know Andy Hart, not a fan. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. He, Fitzy, and Ted... getting into Super Bowl 59, along with, I'm sure, some Celtics and Bruins thoughts as well. We'll get to our clip du jour at the end of the show. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Unfortunately, no one can be told what the
Grab Bag
is. You have to see it for yourself.
It certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI, and stuff we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including One of the nuggets that came out of media night the other night that we didn't hit on is Andy Reid saying he's going to do it for at least one more year. So
nice.
Don't talk about, you know, he's going to hang it up after a three chief or a chief Pete. He's going to keep going. A lot of people always bring up, oh, how long is he going to do it for? It's like, why you say that?
Because he might.
He's a hoss.
Yeah, he might.
Maybe because he's a hoss.
He might keel over at any point. You don't think that's...
But
you don't think he's at a higher likelihood of that than any other coach at his age? You don't think that?
Coach forever, Big Andy. Get out there and have yourself a time.
I
mean,
I hope he does. No one's rooting for anything. But you think that's silly to even suggest?
Yeah. I think the guy is doing just fine. Thank you very much.
It wasn't just him. Kelsey said he's going to do another year, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Kelsey's like not going anywhere.
Do you believe that? That one I don't really believe. I believe Reed.
Yes.
I'm not sure I believe Kelsey coming back.
Well, I also wonder, you know, with these like celebrity couples and celebrity marriages, like not that they're married or anything, or maybe they are, maybe we don't know. But don't you think they have, whatever it is, it's working doing it this way. So then the moment he's like, I don't play football anymore.
Yeah, but it's like, boy, you're around a lot.
You're around a ton.
This is Keith. I worked nights for a decade. All of a sudden I stopped working nights. Yeah. Kat's like, boy, you're here a lot.
Right.
It's like, this is all you squawked about for a decade.
This is what we always wanted, right?
For 10 years straight, you're like, God, I wish you were home more. And then I was home more. And she's like, boy, you're really here a lot.
I think he does have the, like, I'm going to play until I literally can't vibe to him.
Huh.
I think he's back. Because I thought he might retire after last year.
I thought that was in play, which is why I would be very surprised if he plays again beyond this. Maybe if they lose and there's something else they got to go get. They Chief Pete,
he might go for a four pack. What do they call that?
That's trademarked by you.
Yeah. That's true. I got that. Horsemen.
We
got
to get in on that now. We got to get in on trademarking stuff.
What the fourth thing's going to be?
Pat Riley style. Because Pat Riley trademarked three-peat, but they never actually
three-peat. They didn't even three-peat. They were just was he at the parade where he was like, that's what they're going to do? Like, after
the
80s?
They went back-to-back, so he trademarked three-peat, which is very lucrative for him. Good move.
We should
trademark. I shouldn't even have said it, actually. I shouldn't even have said those
four-peat.
Words.
Four-peat. Damn it. No, we need something better. Something.
We got to cook something up and trademark it.
I like it.
All right, let's work on that after the show. Right, good.
We'll get it. When you have nausea, hyper, indigestion, upset stomach.
So your guy, Ichiro Suzuki, got into the Hall of Fame this past year, but he was not unanimous. Only one player still ever in the history of the great game has been voted unanimously into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So they started to reveal a bunch of the ballots, but not all the ballots. There was like close to 400 ballots, and they now have like 325.
Yeah, basically, people had full. Most of these individuals put this out on social media already, but they had full transparency on 320 out of 400, something like that. And they still don't have the answer on Ichiro.
No. So they got like a ton of them back, like a very high percentage of them back, and every ballot they've seen, Ichiro. If you were the one guy who didn't, wouldn't you be like, yeah, it was me? And I feel like if it's not you, then maybe you shouldn't vote.
Well, I agree with that. The vote should be fully transparent. I completely agree with that. If there's a ballot, you should do it. Do you think it's possible? I've seen this Keyspiracy.
I do have a Keyspiracy on it.
Do you think it's possible somebody thought they checked the box and just didn't, and they're like, and no one knows who it is because they're like, what the hell? I voted for him. Didn't you vote for him?
Oh, hanging Chad situation?
No, it's just like
voted for the wrong guy.
They went through and thought they checked it and forgot or something. Is that possible?
Or I wonder, remember when the steroid guys first came on the ballot, there was a bunch of them that were like, I'm going to mail in an empty ballot.
Yeah, that's a good theory too.
Like it was just so somebody just didn't vote for anybody.
There was just a blank ballot.
A blank ballot.
Well, they should reveal that. They should reveal, even if they don't reveal whose it was because they can't,
and then
they should reveal who else was on that ballot. Yeah. Did they vote for nobody?
That's what I think.
Because that would be defensible. If you just said I'm voting for no one in this class.
No.
That's not defensible compared to I voted for player X, player Y, and didn't vote for Ichiro.
I voted for Manny Ramirez and A-Rod and not Ichiro. I'd be like, okay.
Okay, so it would have to be that. There you go. That's true. That's a good
point. Manny and A-Rod, you're like,
you're like
a guy that socks dingers. You're like a little singles hitter. That's fine.
I would respect that, too. You're right. I will say one thing that people thought. The voting's going to get better. Mm-hmm. Once we get rid of all the crusty olds, the voting's going to get better?
I don't think it has.
I think it's gotten worse.
I think it may have gotten
worse.
We're
letting in just players who don't deserve it.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Billy Wagner.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to be letting people like this. Scott Rowland, 2 years ago, into the Hall of Fame. So I think voting has gotten worse. I think we miss, even though there were curmudgeonly, and it was always the BBWAA, and this weird... we can't let anybody in unanimously. Like, all these different stupid higher-than-thou rules.
Yeah.
I think the voting's gotten worse. I think we missed the crusty old guys.
Small halls.
Yeah.
Long gone.
Yeah, well, especially you when know you, me. When you small voting hall. Over there.
Yeah.
Bears running back Josh Jacobs on a radio interview in Milwaukee said that the Packers need a wide receiver, a real wide receiver. Love the guys we have, but we need a proven number one.
I think
that's what he told Chris Sims. He told those guys, he's like, we have a really good group of really, really special receivers, but like we need someone more proven. And then he told Sims, we need a number one.
I can't say I disagree with him. That's just a wild thing to actually say.
Well, it is funny because
teammates in the room that you share a locker room with.
He's saying
that's a wild thing to say.
He is saying it point blank, which I kind of respect.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because like when guys, like when Matt Judon was here and he was recruiting everybody, and even Kendrick Bourne now, like trying to recruit Cooper Kupp.
You're effectively saying these other guys stink.
Correct.
Yes, 100%.
At the very least, you're saying two things. Whoever's starting now shouldn't be,
yeah.
And whoever's like barely on the team shouldn't be on the team. That is what you're saying.
I totally respect Josh Jacobs for saying it. I think he probably opens up a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
But he's not wrong. I really like Jaden Reed. I think Jaden Reed is probably more gadget player than number one.
Yeah.
Christian Watson is now hurt. What is he? Dontavian Wicks, people projected he'd have a better year. What is he? Like, he's right. They don't have they have a nice receiver room. The Patriots have a terrible receiver room. I take most of those receivers on this team.
Take them all.
None of them are a one.
No.
Grab bag.
Randall Grichuk has signed a one-year deal with the Snakes. So if you had Randall Grichuk on your wish list, you can cross him off.
It's a righty bat. They could have.
He's not coming here.
Rehabilitated here.
He's not coming here, sadly. Yeah, no, not.
Grab bag.
The new trailer for Jurassic World Rebirth came out today.
Rebirth?
New sweet dino action movie. Yeah, Rebirth.
Sounds well, like a very graphic film.
Maybe we'll see it. Maybe finally we'll see some dino births.
There's live
dino births.
Definitely a portion of it.
Haven't we seen that in like the first one?
Well, no, that was sort
that
of
was a pile. That was a mound of poop, is what that was. Yeah. That was a mound of poop.
No,
I
know what Nick's talking about, but no, that was.
That's not how babies are.
We didn't see dino on dino, and then the end result of that.
No.
Because they were like, oh, they're all female, so we're good.
Many feel dude. That's been lacking, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dino on dino?
Yeah. NC-17, right?
So this takes place 5 years after Jurassic World Dominion, which I'm sure we've all seen, and I have. And this stars Scarlett Johansson, Mahershala Ali, and some new dinos.
Nice.
One of them kind of looks like the Rancor from Star Wars.
ScarJo's been in a bunch of these? She's been in
none of these.
So this is her first one.
She always said she wanted to be in a Jurassic Park or World movie, and now she gets her wish. The trailer is released today. She's got some sort of like machine gun going through the tall grass. Yeah.
It works.
Clever girl.
Clever girl.
So I'm excited for this. There's like three July movies that are going to be like big time blockbusters. This, Superman, and Fantastic Four come out in July.
To your point from earlier, they couldn't have saved this thing a couple of days for the Super Bowl.
Wouldn't it have been a great Super Bowl ad?
Yes.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd be like, wow, Scarlett Johansson's in this movie. I had no idea.
Rest in grab bag.
There he is.
A good one.
The Undertaker. Well, it's funny. Speaking of The Undertaker, so Undertaker's a big Trump guy, and so is Hulk Hogan. And so, and we talked about this briefly, when they did their first Netflix Monday Night Raw, they were both back, and Hogan got booed out of the building, but we talked about it on the show. Pat McAfee just had Hogan on his show like the other day, and they were asking him about that, and I think they were like, yeah, well, you know, we know why, and like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it wasn't that. Like, Undertaker also is very pro-Trump, and he got a huge ovation. So you can't blame it on that.
I didn't realize that.
People are down on Hogan.
But you said that to me. Yeah, people are just down on the Hulkster.
Yeah, there's been some stuff there with Hogan. Oh, so speaking of the Super Bowl, I saw this pop up. It's going to be on Tubi. It's going to be available on Tubi, the free streaming app, which is great. I love Tubi. You get some good horror movies on Tubi.
What?
Nick, you know what I'm talking about.
That's true, yep.
I don't know how they did it. I don't know how or why.
Who's watching there?
Well, if you literally don't have cable and you have an internet connection, you can download Tubi and watch the game.
You cannot have cable. No. You're saying if you don't have like a YouTube TV or anything like that where you can watch Fox.
Well, like,
forget not having cable. You're saying if you have like no any streaming service.
That's what I'm saying. Well, no, but you don't have.
For live television is what I mean. You got to watch on Tubi?
But correct me if I'm wrong.
Who's going to watch there?
You can't fire up the Fox app unless you have some sort of cable or subscription to Fox.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, not necessarily through a cable company. I see what you're saying.
So
I'm saying
like you have nothing. You have no Xfinity, Comcast,
you have Netflix.
You have Netflix
and Tubi.
Disney Plus, Tubi. Everybody's got Tubi. Everybody's got Pluto. I highly recommend them both. But you can watch the Super Bowl on Tubi. Is that financially profitable for Tubi? Because, like, I'm sure they have to spend money on
this
it.
This is news to me. This is the first I've heard of this. I did not know this.
We need to look into this.
What Grab Bag is good for. Do I pay for Tubi? I have it. Do I pay for it?
No, you're not paying for it.
So
it's
I just
free.
Get it.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know how they make money.
I definitely don't.
Last year, they ran a Tubi Super Bowl spot.
Oh.
No, you're thinking of...
Nailed it.
You're thinking of something else. Red Tube. So I was shocked. Tubi had a commercial, and I tweeted something like, how is Tubi getting this money for a Super Bowl commercial?
Uh-huh.
And then I think they responded to me at Tubi and was like, we have commercials. And I was like...
You're like, wow, you guys are like, really good at marketing.
And a lot of free time on your hands, Tubi. No, but apparently, like, they have one of those things where... You got like a few commercials here and there. Like the streaming service itself is free, and they have like a pretty crazy catalog of stuff.
I'm going to go with the Twitch shot on this. I've done no research, but Patriots NFL 1 says Google : Fox owns Tubi. So there you go.
How about that? Solved.
How could we? I don't know how we
right there
could have figured that out without Twitch.
Good job.
Grab bag.
All right, let's take a look at the top NBA performers from last night's slate of games. Jones,
yes.
Tyrese Maxey went for 33 points, 13 assists.
Nope.
Old friend Kyrie Irving, 34 points, 9 boards.
Nope.
Karl Anthony Towns, 27 points, 20 rebounds.
Thought about it, but nope.
LeBron James, 26, 8, and 9.
No.
And Joel Embiid.
There it is.
Is back. 29 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Sixers in their win over Dallas.
Look, I'm no
Joel Embiid
fan.
Dallas lost again, huh?
Yeah, weird. Joel Embiid comes back, first game in forever, triple-double, Sixers win.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, we're going to flip that on its head today. As promised, we are doing random Super Bowl participant of the day.
I think it's important you give people a heads up on this because people would be, they'd have their pitchforks lined up outside if you didn't give the people heads up on this.
Not Benito Santiago? No, it is a random football player. So
Super Bowl participant.
Super Bowl participant.
Yes.
You don't know if he won or he lost, but he played in the game.
He was there.
I can give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you his position and his teams, and you can throw some guesses at me, and then I can tell you specifically what team he played for in the Super Bowl.
Great.
All right, so he's a wide receiver.
Okay.
Going with a wide receiver who played for the Falcons, Jets, and Steelers. As you can imagine, he did not play in the Super Bowl for the Jets. I'm not going that far back.
Okay. Falcons, Jets, Steelers.
Wide receiver.
Keep going. Yeah.
Made his rookie year was 1990, and he retired after the 2002 season.
Okay.
After the 2002 season.
Something was telling me Jericho Cotchery. It's not him.
Nope, not Jericho Cotchery.
Okay.
He's a nice little wide receiver, a one-time Pro Bowler, made the Pro Bowl in 94 with the team that he did play in the Super Bowl with. He's actually second team all pro that year. 111 grabs, 1,300 yards, and 11 touchdowns.
Okay.
In 94.
So he was on that Steelers team?
No.
Wait, what team was he in the Super Bowl for?
The Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons.
You guys are stumped.
Wait, so I was thinking Santonio Holmes. He was on the Super Bowl in 94 with the Falcons?
No.
That was when he made the Pro Bowl.
98, I think it was.
This makes way more sense.
Yeah, 94 was his great year, but he was still on the team in 98 when the Dirty Birds
not Andre Rison
went to the Super Bowl.
Andre Rison.
Nope, not Bad Moon Rising.
Ooh. Who else were the receivers on that team, Billy?
Come on.
He was a
dig
Pro
deep.
Bowl, Pro Bowler in 94.
Twitch chat already has it.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. Twitch chat's on it.
Come on.
Yep. Guys are on it.
I'm not. I got nothing. I don't even think I have anything. Mm. I'm going to cheat and look. You got
right,
any guesses, Billy?
Go ahead and take a look.
I got nothing.
Wait, I don't even know if I see. Oh, I see it. Terrence Mathis?
He got it.
I was like, I don't even think looking at it, I get it. Okay, Terrence Mathis.
Terrence Mathis.
Mm.
He was excellent. He was really good.
I'm surprised he made a Pro Bowl. I do remember that name. I'm surprised he made a Pro Bowl.
Dude, he was second team all pro that year. He was a machine. And in the Super Bowl, in a loss to Denver, 7 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. They actually had a nice little game for the Atlanta Falcons.
Terrence Mathis.
And then he had a good game against Minnesota when they beat the Randy Moss Vikings.
Do you know this without looking? Perhaps you have it in front of you. Where did Terrence Mathis go to school? Do you know this? You're good at this game.
I am good at this game. I don't know where he went. Georgia, would be my guess.
You got all the Terrence Mathis.
New Mexico.
There it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten that one. They're both colleges that play football, Dick.
Yeah.
No, I didn't have that one.
A Bulldog, a Lobo. They're very similar. There's a lot of overlap.
Sixth-round pick.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, not Tom Brady, but still pretty good.
Second team All-Pro. One of the greatest sixth-round picks of all time is what they say about
Antonio Brown, Terrell Davis.
Terrence Mathis. Yeah. So that is your random Super Bowl participant. Today and the final couple of days of this week, we'll do that instead of a random baseball play. We'll get in the Super Bowl spirit,
it were. Get the people going.
WEEI Afternoons, very much in the Super Bowl spirit. They had Vinatieri on yesterday. I know they have Laura Malloy.
Oh, one of my favorites.
On the program today. Love Laura Malloy.
I had the law firm poster growing up.
I've heard
Ty
this
Law,
many times.
Laura
I feel
Malloy,
like
they're wearing suits.
You lean more into talking about the Ty Law aspect of it than the Laura Malloy
aspect. Love them both.
But you love the law firm equally.
Yep.
There'll be a law firm, we think, representing Keefe tomorrow morning as well. We'll see what WEEI Afternoons has coming up along with Laura Malloy. It'll be Andy and Fitzy and Ted coming your way here. Plus, we have our clip du jour. We'll get to it next.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe.
Woo-hoo!
Jones, ready for that?
Oh, sounds wonderful. What's the clip du jour?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day, and it's a Wednesday, so we had our guy Justin M. Turpin in studio, our Celtics insider, and somehow, some way, we got talking about who is the NBA's GOAT.
Mm. MJ or LeBron?
I mean, I never saw MJ, so yeah, I side with LeBron.
Nice.
You know that he exists, though, right?
No, of course I do. Of course I do. But I side with LeBron.
Nice.
Yeah. I never saw The Godfather, so it can't be a good movie.
I also don't agree with the bubble being a Mickey Mouse.
Oh, my God.
I mean, by
Turp,
the name
please.
Of it, yes.
Oh,
it
my
was
God.
Get
him,
I think that was
Mickey Mouse
that was
title.
Tough,
get him, Turp.
That was a tough championship to win.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
LeBron got to take 3 months off.
No,
Anthony Davis
health,
needed
yes.
it more than anybody else to take the time
the
off.
Health
no traveling.
Get him.
The break did.
The break did.
But
that's part of it.
Being there, yes, 100%.
That's a huge part of it. There's no road games. The Milwaukee Bucks were like undefeated
no home
at home that year.
Either.
Yeah, you get
well,
no, okay,
exactly.
yeah, no home court advantage.
No home court advantage.
You're stuck in
yeah.
like
which the Bucks
virtual
had.
Paul Pierce on the
that
wall.
That was so fake. It's not even funny. That was such a sham title.
I think it was pure hoops.
It's weird.
That's what it was.
It's the maybe some say it was the purest championship.
It was the purest championship.
Anthony Davis has had so many good 82 game seasons and won so many
titles
when they played
into the postseason. No, I agree.
They would not have won.
That's
he would not have won.
I give it.
You know what?
There's zero chance that team wins the title if you had a real year.
Turp has convinced me. LeBron greater than MJ.
Yep.
You've convinced me.
I flush it out. I think the Lakers created COVID. Kind of got away from me there at the end. But
the
Laker
lab leak theory. I like that. Yeah,
who
yeah.
benefited the most from COVID? No, we're not going down that road. But, yeah, I stand by it. But then Turp even kind of—I know he
it
said
was
it's
the purest,
which
no,
is hilarious.
Purest
it's a good
line. He's got you.
It's
there.
A good line, but he did.
It was
say,
all about hoops. It was about nothing else. It was just
like,
the hoops.
But he like mixed in there. He's like, well, the break did benefit them. I'm like, yeah, that's mainly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
they didn't have to play a full season.
Benefited. It didn't.
Three
make a,
months off, and then those guys got like what was it, 10 tune-up games or whatever, and then like a tournament. The same team that won the in-season tournament. You're like, yeah. LeBron and Anthony Davis can win it that way.
I'll tell you right now, the Celtics had a million times easier of a playoff run last year than winning in the bubble, given the opponents they had to go against.
But Rob Pelinka.
You want to play that game?
No, but they played like real road games.
Yeah,
like those
against
guys
teams
got
missing
hurt.
Their best players.
They played 82-game season.
I'd rather play
that
on
was a grind.
I'd rather play on a neutral court than without my best player in the case of the Cavs and teams like that last year.
You couldn't
score one for Terp.
No.
Keefe is still.
Terp zero, Keefe one.
Keefe is shooketh because he didn't have Baker Mayfield high enough on his quarterback
I
list.
Ranked him too low. Sorry,
then,
Baker.
Terp boxed him around earlier today.
I got body bagged by Terp in here.
So he threw the pure hoops right in your face.
Pure hoops is a great line.
Yeah, no comeback.
Yeah, I know.
So that was Terp earlier today. I don't know. EEI Afternoons. You guys got some Celtics talk mixed in today? What do you got? I know you got Laura Malloy on the show.
Yeah, we have Brian Scalabrine at 4.
Oh, right.
His usual Wednesday slot. So we'll talk to him about the Celtics. Good win last night. Ugly, but get the win.
Take
they
it.
Needed that. Stiz is very excited. He's on the bandwagon after the wins over the weekend. That big buzzer beater over the Pelicans.
It was a nice buzzer beater.
It was. It was the Pelicans.
Well,
it wasn't even really the Pelicans that started the game. They lost like six guys over the course of the game. But
like
whatever.
Flies.
Tatum hit it. Yeah, so we'll do that with Brian Scalabrine. 4:30, Lawyer Malloy. Which,
nice.
On the heels of our chat with Adam Vinatieri yesterday. Hopefully another interesting interview. 5:30, we'll do Ted Johnson's Super Bowl 36 memories. We went down 31 memory lane yesterday. That was a loss.
So this will be better, I think.
The winning Super Bowls and parties and fun. So we have that. We'll probably lead off with a little bit of Drake May, Christian Gonzalez. See the Christian Gonzalez cut from Pro Football Talk?
You know what? I was reading some of this off the air. He took a big May, shot at Mayo, but he also was very complimentary of Drake May.
Very complimentary of Drake May. Also, interestingly, hasn't spoken with Mike Vrabel. So Mike Vrabel called. They have two players really have to call. You get the head coaching job this
week.
It's
a one-way conversation.
We talk to him every week. He doesn't do much
talking. You think that's why? Maybe he heard your interviews and he's like, it's not worth it.
I'm
not going to get anything out of this.
I'll see him in person later. Circle back.
He's like, you stand up or sit down to wipe. Those are the good the good questions that we'd always ask.
So yeah, we have a loaded show. We'll also do a quick segment on The Verdict, the final episode of that series that not only was Ted Johnson in, but Fitzy. There was some footage from the Greg Hill show, WEEI Morning Show, when Fitzy was on.
Wow.
That made the cut. So I was the only member of the show this afternoon that wasn't in the final episode of The Verdict. And the final verdict, you see Mad Dog? Do you see what his verdict was?
No.
He went Belichick.
That's crazy.
But a lot of the guests, I would go Belichick. I would absolutely go Belichick.
Wait a minute. Wait, what's the question?
Belichick versus Brady. More credit for the dynasty.
Oh. You would go Belichick?
I would.
Really?
Like 51-49? I think he molded Brady, and then Brady took off with his molding.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Ted does.
You should have molded
Ted
somebody else.
Agree with me.
That's true.
But yeah, we got a loaded show, right, but definitely 4:30. Lawyer Malloy. Were you guys Lawyer Malloy guys?
Huge.
Were you sad when he was gone?
Oh, I was devastated.
Did you hate their coach?
Yeah, I was like,
I was pretty upset.
I was right there with Tom Jackson.
Yeah. It was rough. And then I went to college, 02, 03 or whatever, up there with like a bunch of Buffalo fans. So that was brutal.
Got that thrown
off. And then he was doing the thing when he was kicking 31-0.
That was a rough
one. But yeah, we got a little bit of a theme here, it seems. So Adam Vinatieri says he's going to write a book about how he was pushed out of town and backed into a corner and had to go to the Colts. And obviously, Lawyer Malloy today. I'm
and
sure
you're still giving Belichick all the credit. He kicked those guys out the door.
Yeah, because he kept winning. I don't know. Seems like it worked out pretty well. One year too early.
Good thing to fall back on. So there you go. That's WEEI Afternoons. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant Monday through Wednesday. You can go there for their newest big deal meal, your favorite chicken and sausage al forno. It's back at the Nines for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. Stay tuned for WEEI Afternoons. We're back tomorrow at 10 o'clock right here on WEEI.